just want you to close your eyes there where you are. Just focus on Jesus right now. Just thank Him for the fact that He is risen. That He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank Him for the fact that He did come to earth and that He could identify with each one of us. Because He became a man just like us, tempted in every way, yet without sin. So just see Jesus this evening in your life, high and lifted up. But see Him also as the one who understands you in every way. Knows your heart, He knows all your thoughts, He knows all your frustrations, all your fears. He knows everything that you're going through. And just give Him the room to just move in your life. I just sense He wants to move in your life, and He comes only by invitation. So just invite Him in now to come and just show you how amazing He is. Just speak to Him in your own words. If you want to sing a new song to the Lord, then sing a new song. If you want to pray in the Spirit, pray. But just speak in your own language if you have to. Just tell Him how you love Him and how you just want to know Him more. And how you want Him to be close to you. So invite Him in. Just invite Him in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are walking past each one of us. You are walking to each one of us tonight, touching our lives, God. Thank you that you want to enter in, Lord, that you're knocking. You're standing at the door, Lord. You're knocking. And you just say in your word, Lord, that whoever opens to you, you will come in and dine with him or her. And they will dine with you. And we thank you, Jesus, that we want you to come and dine with us this evening, Lord. We want you, Jesus, to come in, Lord. And we open every part of our hearts, Lord. We want you to show us your goodness, Lord. Show us how awesome you are. Show us how amazing you are. Jesus, you're the only reason that we are doing what we're doing. You're the only reason that we're living today, Lord. There's no other reason to live, Lord, except for you, Jesus. This evening, Lord, we find our joy in knowing you. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to also tell the world how awesome you are. You want to make yourself known to us, but you want to be made known through us, Lord. We thank you that you've called us and chosen us, Lord. Thank you for rivers of living water, Lord, to flow through our lives. And we thank you tonight that we can hear your voice, Lord. You are speaking to us, Lord, and even through your word now, Lord, that you want to speak to each one of us. We open our hearts and our eyes and our ears, Lord. We are so sensitive this evening to your Spirit, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say to us tonight. And Jesus, we thank you that you speak clearly in a still small voice, Lord. And so thank you that we can hear clearly tonight, Lord. There's no confusion, Lord, no distraction, no tiredness, Lord, nothing to keep us from hearing your voice tonight. Lord, I pray for grace to obey your voice, Lord, in Jesus' name. That we would obey as we walk out of here, Lord, tonight changed. We thank you that we won't only be hearers, but tonight we'll be doers of your word. And we commit that to you, Lord. We know you will help us because you're a good God, a mighty God. We worship you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Just turn to someone next to you and say, it's good to see you. You're looking good. And then ask the person, are you ready tonight? Are you ready? Who was that planted? If you're feeling like me, it's like your fifth church service of the weekend. Amen. It's amazing Friday night and Saturday, and it was just impartation and session after session. And I don't know about you guys that were at planted, but I feel like I just love Jesus more after this weekend. Amen. And I trust that you guys that weren't at planted will also love Jesus more after tonight. Amen. Because Jesus is amazing, isn't he? When we get a revelation of Jesus and what he wants to do in this earth and his plans for us and his plans through us, it's just amazing. You cannot get enough. And so my mind is spinning with so much trust. It's not just information, but it is impartation, because I trust that God wants to use me and use you. We're there to really live this out. But it was amazing throughout the weekend. I prepared this sermon during the week, and so this is not a sermon from one of the guys that were preaching. We've got amazing leaders in our church. Who was here at the SOS on Thursday night with Pastor Sias? Quite a couple of you guys. It was awesome. We've got amazing leaders in this church. It's so wonderful to be part of Shofar. We're not the only church. And we're not better than anyone, but I believe for me and I trust for you, we are the best church. But when I just received the impartation from the guys this weekend, it was just amazing to really feel God saying the same thing, you know. That I believe that there's an urgency for the gospel to be preached. Amen. I believe there's an urgency for the gospel to be heard. I believe there's an urgency for the gospel to be believed. Can I have an amen? I want to say that again. I believe there's an urgency for the gospel to be preached. I believe there's an urgency for the gospel to be heard, and I believe there's an urgency for the gospel to be believed. You know, I could psych you guys up tonight. I could psych you up and say, sure, you know, it's the end times and it's urgent and it's hectic, and I guess I could say that the times are more urgent than ever before and psych you up, but it's not really true, because I guess the times have been urgent since Jesus left this earth. Amen. Because they used to say, Lord Jesus, come back 2,000 years ago. It was urgent times for them. But I guess we are a little bit closer right now than we were yesterday to the second coming of Jesus, isn't it? So we're a little bit closer tonight than we were last night, than we were last week, than we were last year. We are a little bit closer, and tomorrow we'll be even closer. And I think in a week's time, we'll be even closer to the coming of Jesus. Maybe Jesus will come this week. So we better go on missions. You know, that's an interesting question to ask. You know, what would you be doing tonight if you knew that Jesus was coming back like next Sunday night at like 8 o'clock, you know? I guess we'd invite quite a lot of people to church next Sunday night, wouldn't it be so? But I mean, I don't want to, you know, we can psych ourselves up and say, you know, it's so urgent and it's so, you know, it's tense and it's hectic, and we can put pressure on each other, and that's not what Jesus wants to do. But I still believe that it's necessary for us to talk about why Jesus came to this earth. Why has there been an urgency for the good news to go out? Why is there an urgency for the gospel? And it doesn't change. It doesn't get more urgent or less urgent. I think there's just an urgency for the gospel. See, Jesus came to this earth on a mission. The theological term for it is Missio Dei, the mission of God. Tonight we had a meeting for our missions. I'm so excited for missions. If any of you want to go to London with me, then trust God for quite a few thousand rand. But come, or go on a mission somewhere. But don't only go on a mission in the holidays. Let's go on a mission tomorrow. Amen. Because there's only one mission. You know, we shouldn't talk about missions. That's why we called our missions Let's Go, because there aren't any missions out there. There's just one mission. Did you know that? Tell someone next to you, there's one mission. It's the mission of God. It's God's mission. It's the reason he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to seek and to save the lost. And we heard it again this weekend, and it was just so inspiring, and I was just challenged and encouraged, and I realized that, yeah, we're busy with the right stuff here on Sundays and Wednesdays and just doing church life. We're busy with life. We're busy with the mission of God, I believe, because he came to seek and to save the lost. But this week I was spending time with the Lord. I went up onto the little lookout pod, didn't quite go to Naval Hill. I went to that other lookout place that's just above our new office there, the Brill Street, and I think it's called, what's the street that goes up there over the hill to the Preller Square. But there's a lookout point, there's a police station there, and so I spent time with the Lord up there, and I opened my Bible in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and there's one word which just, you know, when you read the Bible, it's so amazing. You read over a lot of words and you read over stuff, and then suddenly, and you've read, like, it's not like this is the first time I've read Mark chapter 1. I've read it quite a couple of times, but this morning I was reading it and suddenly this word stood out to me. As soon as I read over this word, it popped up, and then I saw this word again and again and again. I saw this word a lot of times in Mark chapter 1, and I want to talk about that tonight. Because this one word describes what I believe is an urgency. The same urgency that was on Jesus. In fact, it's all about the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 1 starts like this. It starts like, anyone know how Mark chapter 1 starts? It's not a full sentence. Okay, open your Bibles now. It's not up there. Okay, so if you've got your Bible, open your Bible in the New King James Version. It starts like this. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not a full sentence, okay? I guess it was a heading in the old days, or whoever wrote it, it might have been a heading so that the New King James just puts it as part of verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that what we're about? Isn't that what our lives are about? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so that this word that I saw in Mark chapter 1 doesn't describe a sense of running around, a sense of panic, a sense of, like, you know, when you talk about urgency, it's like, oh, we better sell all our goods and we better just cut our lives and stop studying and go and live in a bush somewhere and into Africa and preach the gospel, or go and go up to Nepal to the Himalayas and go to an unreached nation and preach the gospel. We better do that because Jesus is coming back, you know. So we're running around and we psych ourselves up and we get so stressed because there's an urgency. So I don't know what you think when I use the word urgency, but I would rather call it another word. I would rather call it a word called responsiveness. And so that's what I want to talk about this evening. Responsiveness in the kingdom of God. How responsive are you? Because when I saw this one word, and we'll look at this word now. When I saw this word, I just realized, you know, sometimes we're not so urgent in the same way that Mark writes about the urgency of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then I looked in Mark chapter 1 and I counted how many times this word used, and it's used 8 times in chapter 1. 8 times this word is used in Mark chapter 1. And then I went to go and do a search and I saw that it is used 36 times in the gospel of Mark, more than any of the other gospels. And it's used 108 times in the whole Bible. So 8 out of 108 in one chapter, that's quite a lot, wouldn't you say? The word that I want to talk about tonight is the word immediately. I saw it 8 times when I was reading this chapter in the Bible. And the Lord just started to speak to me. Because you know what the original, awesome meaning of the Greek word for immediately means? Do you know what it means? Immediately. I will say that again. You know what the original meaning of this word is? It means immediately. Like now. Like right now. And so why does Mark use this word immediately? What is he trying to convey to his readers about this amazing Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ? So we pick it up here in Mark chapter 1, and John has just baptized Jesus. And what does it say? What is the first time this word is used in Mark chapter 1, verse 10? It says, and immediately, turn to someone next to you and say, immediately. Immediately, Jesus came up from the water, and what did he do? He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. There was a responsiveness about Jesus, because it's like he didn't get baptized and then he sort of like wondered, okay, maybe I must now speak to my, maybe my father wants to speak to me. Maybe I'll just wait for tomorrow to have my quiet time and then I'll commune with my father. Or maybe he'll just speak to me sometime. In fact, it says immediately he came up and he saw something happening and he heard something happening. Jesus responds immediately to the voice of his father and he responds to the sight of the heavens opening and the father speaking to him. The first thing Jesus was responsive towards was that of his father. In fact, that's the most important thing I believe in the kingdom of God that we must be responsive to. And I want to ask you this evening, how responsive are you to your father in heaven this evening? Because if we love Jesus and if we want to become like Jesus, and this weekend I heard it over and over again, people saying, you know, the more I read the word and the more I serve Jesus, the more I want to be like him, the more I just so desire to be like him. So I believe all of us have a desire to become like Jesus. Anyone wants to become like Jesus in this house this evening? Just put up your hand. Then I trust that we'll be as responsive as he was. And the first thing that he was responsive towards was that of his father. He heard his father speak to him and he saw the heavens parting. He was so responsive. And immediately he was ready to hear one thing. And I believe we need to be ready to hear that one thing tonight. Maybe some of you are here this evening, maybe you've never even heard the voice of the Father telling you that he loves you. Amen. That he is pleased with you. Look what he says. He says, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. And I want to say to you tonight that that word is not only for Jesus. That word is for all those who become like Jesus and who are his followers. He wants you. The Father wants you. That's why Jesus came, guys. The Father wants you to know tonight that you are his beloved son and his beloved daughter and he's well pleased with you. Because guess what we hear in the world today? We hear that you are not doing good enough. You are not good enough. You're never pleasing me, because that's often what parents tell us or other people tell us. We're not good enough. And Jesus wants to be the bridge tonight to say the Father is telling you tonight that he's pleased with you. So I want to ask you, how responsive are you to that voice? And you know, it doesn't help. It's like, you know, telling, if I try to tell my wife, or, you know, I tell her when we marry, I love you, you know, and that's enough. Yes, we're going to make our vows and then, you know, I love you and that is enough for the rest of your life. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you again, I love you. You must know I love you. You know, she's not going to be very happy with me. Woman, any married women here? There are not many married women. Some married guys here. I see some of the older guys come to church tonight. It's awesome. But, you know, the married women, you can go ask them. They don't want to hear once that their husbands love them. So it's not necessary, or it won't help us to hear the Father saying once he loves you. And you know what? The Father doesn't only want to tell you once he loves you. Amen. But he's just demonstrating out to Jesus that he's saying this is the most important response that Jesus needed to give before anything started, before his ministry started, before he changed the world. He needed to hear this one thing, that the Father is pleased with him. The Father loves him. So I believe some of us tonight need to hear again that God really loves you. And I'm going to tell you that tonight, that God loves you and he's pleased with you just as you are. Amen. He wants to change you, yes. He wants to use you, but he wants to tell you tonight, first of all, that he loves you. But you see, many times we're not responsive to that. And many times we wait, and I'll never forget when I got baptized, I really heard the Father approving of me. And I heard a couple of other stuff as well, but I really experienced God saying, you know what? I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. Because I know it's not easy to be baptized when your parents told you, you've already been baptized, you know, you were already christened when you were a baby, so why do this again? But do what you like, kind of thing, you know. My parents weren't against me getting baptized, but I just remember God saying, you know what, doesn't matter what anyone else says, I am proud of you, I'm pleased with you. And so I want to encourage you tonight, we're going to have a baptism. Where's Tariniso? Awesome. She's getting baptized tonight. Is there anyone? Well, I don't want to ask for hands now because maybe during the service you might feel like you need to be baptized. But I want to tell you tonight, you need to join Tarin tonight if you are not baptized yet. Because I believe you're going to hear this very clearly. I never heard it before, to be honest. I never heard it. When I got saved, I didn't hear it. I just knew I'm getting saved out of hell because I gave my life to Jesus just to escape hell, okay? Because I read the word and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I was convicted, and so I got saved, and I had a real religious relationship with God. I knew I was going to heaven, but it was just a bunch of stuff, do's and don'ts and all of that. And I'm glad I got saved, but I can tell you I never heard the voice of the Father saying that he loves me and he's pleased with me. And Jesus heard the voice when he got baptized. Amen. So I believe baptism is one of the keys to our responsiveness. But it's not the only one. But it's so important that we take a step of obedience. And once we've been baptized, we can know that we don't have to be baptized over and over again. But one thing we do need to do over and over again is to be responsive to the voice of the one who loves you. Amen. The one who's proud of you. The one who's pleased with you. You're my beloved son. My beloved daughter. A responsiveness. And he did it immediately. And then the Mark goes on and he writes the following. He uses this word again and he says, Jesus was now baptized, and so what happened? He's baptized and the Father's pleased with him. So what happens? The Holy Spirit starts to operate. And where does the Holy Spirit lead him? Doesn't lead him to do a miracle. It doesn't lead him to start a ministry. It doesn't lead him to heal the sick and raise the dead and do all sorts of things. He leads him into a 40-day fast. And he sends the devil to tempt him as well. Because God could have kept the devil away, but God just allowed it to happen. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, Mark, this is very strong language. I don't believe the Holy Spirit drives us. The Holy Spirit isn't the driver. He's not a demanding boss with a whip and saying, go, 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 and pushing you. I believe the word lead would be better, but I think Mark is using this word because of the urgency of the fact that the Holy Spirit had a mandate for Jesus. The Holy Spirit had a plan for Jesus' life, and he wanted him to get to the place where he needed to get. But first, he needed to go through a certain test. 40 days of fasting. Amazing what the Bible says. After 40 days, what happened? It says he was hungry. But what did he do? He led him into the wilderness, and what happened? And it happened immediately. Immediately the Spirit led him. In other words, Jesus responded immediately. Amen? Wouldn't you? You've got to read into Scripture now, okay? You've got to see what Scripture is saying, not read into Scripture. Don't read into Scripture. Let Scripture speak to you, okay? That's not good theology. Let Scripture speak to you. But what Scripture is also saying, without reading into it, is that Jesus responded. Can I have an amen there? Because Jesus had a choice not to be driven or led or whatever by the Spirit. He had a choice, but he responded, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Responsiveness to the Holy Spirit doesn't always mean that the Spirit is going to tell you, you know what? You're going to have a nice life now. You are awesome, and you are, I'm going to send you to get lots of money and lots of fame, and you're going to have this awesome ministry and sell and write books, and you know, you're going to make lots of money. Guess the Holy Spirit could do that as well. But he didn't do it with Jesus. The Holy Spirit, first thing he did was to lead him through a challenge. Amen. So I want to ask us this evening, how responsive are we to the Spirit leading us to places that we don't necessarily want to go? Or where things are a little bit tough. And so what do? We don't respond immediately. We start to calculate and count the cost. Oh, is this really God? Am I hearing right now? Because, where are we going, Holy Spirit? Where are we going now? Is it a fasting, 40 days? Shucks, why can't we make it 20 rather, or 10? Or let's just, one day fast is fine, and I'll drink a bit of coffee in between, and, you know. But can't we make it easier, Spirit? So we give the prerequisites, and then what would I say? We're not responsive anymore. Then we're actually resistant. Wouldn't that be so? But Jesus he didn't ask any questions. He just simply obeyed because the Spirit knew the mission that Jesus had to fulfill. And so he led him for 40 days into a challenge. So I want to say to you tonight, are you responsive to the Spirit for WWW? That's not any website or anything. Whatever, whenever, wherever. Are you responsive to the Spirit when he calls you and says, you know what? This is my plan for your life. And yes, you have a choice in it, but you know what? I know the best for you, and I haven't only got exciting things for you. In fact, before the exciting things, before the adventure starts, I've got a challenge for you to overcome. I'm going to take you through some testing. I'm going to take you through some basic training. Anyone who's been in the army knows that, you know, you can't just become an officer or an NCO. You can't just have rank. You've got to go through some basic training. Get your hair cut. And I didn't go to the army, but I saw, you know, Pastor Andres was also in the army, and he told the story on Saturday afternoon about how, you know, he was in the army. You know, he said he never learned he never knew how to wash clothes or iron clothes or iron a bed. And you get told once how to do it, and then you have to do it. Oh, sorry, can you do that? No, you don't do it. So my brother was in the army, and he had to iron his bed. In fact, the bed had to be so perfect that what he decided to do, it's going to take me 4 hours to get my bed like they wanted. So what I'll do is I'll make my bed and iron it, and I'll sleep on the floor every night. So that's what he did. He slept on the floor every night in order not to have to wake up at 3 a.m. to be ready by 6 or 7 with his bed ironed. But you see, in the army, you need to go through some training. And so the Holy Spirit takes us through some training. And it's not like God wants to make life difficult for us. But it is a time of training. And I want to say the Spirit of God, when He's got a calling upon your life, and when you want to be like Christ, you know what? You'll need to go through some challenges. Amen? And that will mean that sometimes you're not going to do exactly what you want to do. You're not going to go and do the ministry that you want to do. You might have to go through a few challenges. In fact, you will have to. For any great calling, there's a great cost. So I don't know what you're going through right now, but maybe you must ask God, God, is this a test that I must pass? Or am I just so frustrated with my life? Am I just upset with where you've called me to, God? Or why am I at Kofsis? Because there's all this stuff going on and on campus. And so, God, why is life so tough here? I'd rather go to an island somewhere where life is nice and easy. There's no other island that's going to be much easier. I can tell you, life is life. In fact, life is just a challenge. Amen. Life presents us with a few challenges, and God is good. God wants us to overcome it because He's got a calling for us. He's got His mission that He wants to fulfill. So how responsive are we to the Holy Spirit? How responsive are we to be tested, to be prepared, and to be trained? Are we going to do it immediately? Or are we going to delay, and are we going to ask a lot of questions and question things and calculate things and be so in control? God just wants us to lose control and to trust Him. Mark carries on. Verse 16, are you still with me this evening? Just shake somebody next to you and say, we're going places. Amen. Jesus called the fishermen. And he walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And there that word pops out to me again. I couldn't believe it when I was reading this. This word doesn't leave me. Immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. Immediately. Jesus calls his disciples, and you know what he says to them? He says, I'm going to use your fishing skills for the kingdom of God. Amen. Anyone ever fished in your life? Any fishermen in the house? I guess it's amazing to have fishermen here in the inland, but I guess some of you come from the coast, you know. Gaan 'n bietjie daar na die Weskus toe, daai vissermanne, hy's die snaaks daar so, en hy hulle praat plat daar op die Weskus, jy weet. Maar vissermanne, ons is lekker mense. But he called a few fishermen and he said to them, you know what, I'm going to use your skills to extend my kingdom. And I don't know what skills you've got tonight. But I believe that God is calling you to use your skills for the kingdom of God. But you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to respond and to leave that which is comfortable, to leave that which is known, and to say, God, I want you to use my skills, not for just to fish and just to make money and just to have a nice life. I want you to use my skills. And I'm going to change you from a fisherman to a fisher of men. It's amazing how they responded. Eh? There must have been something in their hearts that stirred when Jesus said, you know what, follow me and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm not just asking you to follow me. I've got a purpose for your life. So follow me. And just as Jesus has called people to follow him, you know what I believe? As we follow Jesus, you know what he's calling us to do? He's calling us to call people to follow Him. There's a responsiveness to follow Jesus, which I believe Jesus had. You know what He wants to do? He wants to impart that into us. A responsiveness for people to follow, not us, but to follow Jesus. But you know what they'll have to do? They're going to have to follow us for a while. Amen. Sometimes they're going to have to follow you just to church. I remember leading this one guy to the Lord, and I didn't pray a prayer over him there. I just said to him, you know what? I'm so excited about what God's doing. You must come to this church. And I invited him, and I was amazed. He took muscle biopsies in my muscles because I was running at the time, and they used me as a guinea pig. They paid me some money, but they took pieces of muscle out my leg. It wasn't very nice. I almost passed out. But anyway, I don't like blood, and so I'm so glad I'm not studying medicine or not being a doctor. But so they take this piece of muscle about that thick, you know, like, and you watch it, or you can sleep, I guess, if you want to. But they make your leg dead, and then they take a piece of muscle out and they evaluate it and all that. But anyway, while I thought, you know, he's doing this to me, I'm going to ask him, why don't you come to church with me? I don't know what I asked him, if he knows Jesus. You know, but everyone says they know Jesus, I guess. South Africa, we're a religious country, and so everyone's supposed to know. I just, you know what? I've discovered something. Come. And he came to church, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he's still serving Jesus today. It's just so amazing to realize sometimes people will have to follow us first. Amen. But ultimately, we don't want them to follow us. We want them to follow Jesus. But Paul did say to Timothy, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Isn't that so? So sometimes people just have to follow you to cell group, to follow you to pray in the morning, follow you to just something, follow you to a praise and worship event. Just follow me because I'm leading, I'm going somewhere. I'm following this amazing God. You know, you can be very clever when you lead people to Jesus. You don't have to use the word Jesus, because maybe if you use the word Jesus, you know, I heard a story of a friend of mine who was working for a company, and he decided he's not going to, you know, he was an evangelist and he wanted to lead people to Christ. So he didn't use the word. He told this amazing, he said, you know what? There's this amazing person in my life. So he would get the people excited. He would tell them about this amazing person that is changing his life, and that's the answer for his marriage and the answer for this and the answer for that. And after it came out, it was Jesus, but he only told them afterwards, and people responded to Jesus. But sometimes my point this evening is that Jesus, as we follow him, as there's a responsiveness from our own hearts to follow him, you know what? He will cause in us a response where other people will want to follow him through our lives. These fishermen must have seen something in Jesus. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And there's this word again, immediately. He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him. You know, don't you read the scripture and you think this responsiveness is amazing? And Mark wrote this very specifically. He didn't write this, it's not by chance. If it toevallig bestaan nie, okay, when it comes to the purposes of God. Mark didn't toevallig by chance coincidence write these immediately words into this chapter. It's such a concise chapter, such a condensed chapter of the purposes of God. In fact, it's a summary of the gospel. The whole of Mark chapter 1 is an excellent summary of the rest of Mark, and it's a very good summary of all four gospels. The life of Jesus Christ, and we'll see now as we go on. So first, Jesus responds to his Father's voice. Then he responds to being led by the Spirit, first into tough times. And you know what? He never stops getting led by the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Because the Spirit leads him to every place. The Spirit led him to these four fishermen, and they immediately followed him. Don't you guys see this amazing trend in the Bible? Isn't the Word of God amazing? That if we respond to the Father, if we respond to the Holy Spirit, you know what? Then there's going to be a responsiveness from people. Not to follow us. Please don't let people respond to following you primarily, but sometimes they must follow the Christ in you because there's life. Amen. Turn to someone next and say, there's life in you because Christ is in you. But let's see what happens here. The kind of responsiveness demands that sometimes we have to leave our Father sitting there in the boat twiddling his thumbs. What's happening now? Imagine that poor father. It's like, oh, where are these people going? Following Jesus. Because there was an urgency. There was a responsiveness. There was something that Jesus had that they wanted to follow. And I believe it's because he had a responsiveness to the great call upon his life, and he imparted that to these other followers. They wanted to follow the call of God upon their lives. They just didn't know what it was. Okay. And he didn't tell them their calling. He just said, come. I'm gonna change you. I'm gonna make you come become a fisher of men, but you're not gonna use rods and reels and all that stuff. You're gonna use another bait. It's called my gospel. You know that we're all the doctors in the house here? All the medical students, not doctors, medical students, just raise your hand, come be bold. You guys are almost, you know, studying hard to become a doctor. You know that there's one pill, guys. Turn to someone next and say, there's one pill. And it's called the gospel. Okay? There's only one pill. It's called the gospel. Jan, that's goeie nuus vir jou, né? But you still got to study hard, okay? You still got to study hard. But lead people to Christ through that one pill. The pill that will save you. The gospel. And then, the fourth thing that Jesus, or that when it talks about responsiveness, is in 21 and 22. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he taught. Immediately. Jesus had a responsiveness to the calling that was on his life, the mandate that was on his life. And what happened? They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, Jesus had a very clear mandate when he came to earth. And he started out by calling people to follow him. And then he went into the place where the word was supposed to be taught. The truth was supposed to be taught. Well, I guess it was taught. The truth at the time was taught. But you know what? He came to fulfill the truth. He came to say, you know what? I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he went into the synagogue and he had an urgency. He had a responsiveness, because it said immediately he went to where church was happening. And what did he do? He changed church life. Imagine Jesus coming into this church tonight and just changing church. Because I think he will. Amen. There's lots of stuff that he will change here. Just because he's amazing. When Jesus comes into your life, things change. Isn't that so? Who's been changed by Jesus? And who's constantly being changed by Jesus? Because I'll never forget when I got led to Jesus Christ. The one guy said to me, he said, you know what? If there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus. And that brought the fear of God in my life. Because I'd never changed. I was just growing up, you know. Like a normal teenage boy does. You grow up and suddenly you realize there needs to be a change. So I was changed. Jesus really changed my life. And he continued to change my life and continues to do it to this day. But he had a clear mandate, and that was to come to seek and to save that which was lost. He had a clear purpose. And so he went into the synagogue and he changed a few things there. And what was the response? They were astonished. They had never heard anything like this before. And they said something else specifically. It said, Mark writes, he says, he taught as one having authority. People could see there was an authority upon his life. And you know why I believe there was an authority upon his life? I've just told you. He was responsive to the voice of his Father. He was responsive to the Spirit. He was obedient to his mandate. And therefore he could have authority. Isn't that so? Authority only comes from obedience. I think Pastor C, I said it. I don't know if it was on Thursday night or throughout the weekend. But it just struck me again that why do some people seem to have so much authority? Why do some people preach and some people seem to create a response? And it's not because they're special or anything like that. It's just because they've been obedient to the call of God in their lives, whether you're full-time or not. People who are making an impact for the kingdom of God are those who are responsive. Amen? It's obedience. That's all I'm talking about tonight. Obedience. Just using another word. But Jesus was responsive and immediately went and taught, and lives were changed. I think it was important that Jesus tried to make a point here. It's important to come to the house of God as well. I think Jesus didn't only come to teach, but he just came to be in the house of God. And he happened to teach as well because he was appointed and anointed to teach. But I believe for all of us, our response should be, you know what? I must come to church not only to receive, but actually to give. Because that's what Jesus did. He just came to give. He came to give of himself, give of his word, and lives were changed. And I can tell you tonight, you don't have to stand up here and teach and preach to make a difference. Can I have an amen? Because all of us cannot stand up here and teach and preach, okay? But all of you can make a difference. You and me can make a difference. We can have an urgency to come to the house of God. We can have an urgency to come together to cell group and to say, you know what, I'm coming to bless someone. I'm coming to make a difference here. I'm coming by the Spirit of God. I'm not coming to be selfish or to even promote myself. I'm just coming here in obedience to maybe bring a word. To maybe just bless someone. And you know what? People will be amazed at the authority in your life. Not because you're cool or because you've got weird hair or because you're just different. It's just because you're responsive to the Holy Spirit, to the call of God on your life. And I want to challenge you guys and encourage you. Start to bring words in cell groups. Start to bring words in church. Come to church to be a blessing. This weekend was so amazing with the ministry afterwards. You know, they made altar calls and people responded. And, you know, I kind of thought, you know, Lord, thank you. I can just take a break. You know, I'm always ministering to people. And there's lots of other facilitators and other pastors. And so, Lord, thank you. I'll just sit in my chair and just pray and let people respond to ministry. And then, you know what I get in my heart? I just get this urgency. You know what? I've got a word for someone. I want you to pray for someone. I want you to bless someone. Thank you, Lord. I'll say yes. So I get up and I pray and I don't even pray for error. I start giving words. I say, you know, I feel the Lord saying this to you. And people just respond. And like, thank you, Lord. This is what the life is about. Don't have to be preaching all the time or taking a break, Lord. I can just be obedient. And my poor wife, you can ask her the story. But, you know, I was so passionate. Whenever there was a response, I would always want to come forward and pray for people. Because especially people getting saved, it's so awesome to pray for the lost getting saved. It's like, there's nothing like it to pray that prayer with the guy. And to say, you know what, Jesus is amazing. Just keep following him. So when we got married, I'm like, I'm so excited. So I'm like almost pushing my wife to throw. You know, you also got to pray for people. And she was like freaked out, you know, because she just doesn't do that sort of, you know. She can do it, but it's not like, I'm like, come forward. You know, like I'm like trying to disciple her and tell her, you go pray. And I'm going to watch you. You pray. And it freaked her out a little bit. Like, I did all the things the wrong. Please don't do that, guys. I'll help you not to make certain mistakes. But, you know, it just showed me I'm just excited about lives. I'm excited about people getting saved. Just excited about ministry. It freaks people out, I know. But I cannot contain it. It's because there's responsiveness. There's a mandate and a call upon all our lives. Amen. Can I have an amen? You can all be a blessing in your small group. You can be a blessing wherever you go. But are we responsive to the mandate that Jesus has given us? And then lastly, two times again, this word comes up. Verse 27, now Jesus has come into the synagogue and he's cast out this demon and he's done all sorts of things. Then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And what happens? Immediately, his fame spreads throughout all the region. Not in a week's time, not like, let's build a church first, and let's get lots of people excited, and then we can immediately spread. No, it like happened then, right there. His fame spread. There was a responsiveness in the Spirit to Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a responsiveness just in the spiritual realm. I can see it here. A responsiveness to his presence wherever he went, things happened. Demons left, sick got healed, and we'll see that now, the last few scriptures. The kingdom of God basically came. Would you agree with that? Evil could not stand the light. Dark could not stand the light. Darkness had to flee. And it caused a response to the presence of God. The real presence on this earth. Jesus Christ, God Emmanuel, God with us. The whole region knew about it. Verse 31 carries on because it says, so he came and took her by the hand, and this is Peter's mother-in-law that was sick. Lifted her up, and not the next day, not in a week's time, immediately the fever left her. I went to go and pray for someone in the hospital this week. And you know, Just like, it's so terrible, a child, you know, to go into the pediatric ward and to see these children there, and it just, I just got this frustration. It broke my heart, you know. I didn't cry or anything. I was actually like, almost hard, and I just said, God, why don't we believe, you know? And then I just said, God, I just have little faith now. Just help, please heal this boy. And I just realized, why have I got so much doubt? Why have I got so much fear? And why do I try to work this stuff out? And I prayed for him and trusting for healing. He didn't get healed immediately. But I think something, I know there was something stirred inside of me that we must go pray for more people. And if they don't get healed, it's fine. But we must have faith for immediate healing. Amen? I'm not putting pressure on us. Some sicknesses don't go immediately. But what I see with Jesus, I see that there's immediately a fever left. Immediately. And some of you guys got healed on Thursday night. And God did amazing things at the SOS on Thursday. But why do we have to wait for an SOS event for it to happen? Why do we have to go to events to get, you know? Why can't we just every day trust God to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed immediately? The fever will leave. You know what we do, and this is what I'm doing. I'm talking to myself now because I work, oh no, God, but maybe there's a plan here, or I don't know what. And then we start to work it out. We start to think, why isn't there immediate results? And so then we start to doubt. Amen. And so then we don't pray for the sick anymore because maybe we're going to fail. Maybe it's not going to happen immediately, so we just won't pray anymore. So I'm not trying to say every sickness is going to go immediately, but I want to trust us and trust God for our faith this evening. Amen. That we'll walk like Jesus walked, because where Jesus, the kingdom of heaven came. Amen. There's an urgency. And it's not like running around getting stressed. It's just immediately. And Jesus is like, he's just so at peace. Just get up. Fever, leave. You know, sometimes he shouted. Sometimes he spat on people's faces and their eyes were healed, and he did different things. But I can just imagine this man of peace, the Prince of Peace, walking into a situation, not stressed, not hoping, is it going to happen? No, he just had so much faith that it was going to happen. And the fever left, sickness left, demons left. There was a responsiveness to the presence of God. Who of you desire this as a Christian tonight? Be honest. So I don't know about you, I desire it. I desire the kingdom to come. Not to write a ministry or write a book and sell books on healing and do all sorts of courses. I just want to see the kingdom come. Not because I'm special, but because there is one who is special. He's the one that ultimately brings it. He's the one that causes the response in the spiritual realm. In Mark 1:42, the last time, this word just didn't leave me. Amen. Again, immediately. The leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. So I don't know about you. You know, the Word of God is very challenging. And sometimes, and I just want to challenge us, but I want to encourage us tonight, guys. Don't want you to be heavy and just, we're never going to attain to this. Because you know what? We are never going to attain to this. Amen? But Jesus wants us, by His Word and through His name, He wants us to let His kingdom come and glorify Him. But He wants us to see His Word. And when I read this Word, I just was so challenged and just had to preach it tonight. Aren't you happy? Because Mark chapter 1 is challenging. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But it's not just a gospel that we can say, yeah, I know that gospel. I'm living that gospel. No. I don't know about you, but I'm not really living that gospel because I don't see this always in my life. But you know what? I want it. I desire it. And I say, Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my little faith. Because I'm not into a quick fix. Because I want to tell you guys tonight, it's not about a quick fix. There immediately mustn't be a quick fix for your life. Okay? Because you know what we think about immediate? Yes, God, I want stuff immediately. And you know what? Our stuff will sometimes take long. Okay? Our healing and our deliverance and our freedom might take a while. But you know what? God wants to heal someone else immediately. Amen? Because they're in bondage. He wants to save someone else immediately. He wants to call them to follow Him immediately because their life is in the balance. Amen. And the sickness and the demons are just a byproduct because that must lead people to come to know Jesus as their Savior. Because that's the first thing He did. He called people to follow Him. The demons and all the other stuff was cast out afterwards. The most important thing Jesus did. Jesus is awesome. Amen. The most important thing that Jesus did was to call people to follow Him. I think there's an urgency tonight. Amen. Because Jesus Christ has called people to follow Him. He's called people out of darkness into light. He's come to seek and to save the lost. And so the demons and the sickness will flee, but it should lead people to follow Jesus more passionately, to follow Jesus with everything in their lives. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited. The Word of God is so challenging. The Word of God, when a word comes out and we realize, Mark, why did you write this? And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what? And it's just about this thing that I've been saying tonight. That's what I believe. And I know only in part, there's still lots more as to why He wrote this. But when I see 8 times the word immediately in one chapter, it's like the Lord speaks, just like the lightning now, and like the thunder, and like the rain. God is speaking. Amen. God is speaking. Jesus Christ has come with a mandate. And Jesus Christ wants us to simply be responsive, guys. Simply be obedient, but be open. You know, like a good center, with the rugby guys, a good center is very good at sidestepping. He's not going to wait a while and wonder. He's going to sidestep very quickly. He's on his toes. And I believe as Christians, we need to be on our toes. We need to be responsive. When the Spirit says, move this way, then we move in peace, not out of stress or, oh, I'm missing it now. Just walking in peace with the Spirit of God. But I believe tonight some people need to hear that your Father is pleased with you. Some people need to be responsive to just saying, Father God, I'm your son. Here I am. And to respond, it's not about baptism, but it's about just coming out of darkness, coming out of the old life. Amen? Coming out of old ways of thinking and just being responsive. And that's what baptism signifies. It's out of the old life into the new life. Some of us need to step out of our old lives tonight. Maybe you've been baptized, you're Spirit-filled, you know Jesus, but you know what? You're living in an old life and you need to literally out of the water, or figuratively speaking, out of the water come and hear the voice of the Father saying to you, you know what? I'm pleased with you. I love you, my beloved son. Some of you need to hear the Spirit of God saying to you, you know what? I'm going to lead you through this desert time. Lead you through these challenges. I'm going to lead you through this testing because I want to see how responsive you are to the challenges and to the tough times, because then you're going to be very responsive when I start to show your ministry. Then you're not going to run around and get all proud and arrogant and say, oh, look at my ministry. Look how great I am. No. It's the Spirit of God that's leading me. Amen. Because if we haven't been led through challenging times, you know what? We're going to start to build our own kingdoms when God starts to use us. And that's why Jesus Christ could die on the cross. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, He could say, Father, not your will, or not my will, but your will be done. He could sweat blood. And He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to do it, but He had been through the desert 40 days of fasting. And He had overcome the devil there. And you know what He just said? I'm going to overcome the devil again. This is going to be bad, but I'm going to overcome the devil. And He was able to go to the cross. He was able to be obedient to the point of death. The Bible says, even death on the cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted Him, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Amen? Every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father. So some of us need to be obedient to the Spirit of God, responsive to the Holy Spirit, prompting you, taking you to challenging places so that He can form in you His life. And then as you come out of that place where you been formed, and you know, and we don't have to be perfect, but there's a place where there's a responsiveness to your life. People want to follow you. Yes, Harlu, there's something in your life. I want to follow that. Lushane, I can see you're shining, man. You don't, challenges happen and you just got faith. I want to follow that faith. Ezra, Johan, I want to follow that faith, eh? I want to follow something in your life. And people will start to see it. And people will respond to that. You know, because you know what? I want to lead you to the shepherd. Just come with me. I want to lead you to the great shepherd. Because He's actually all over the place. But there's a time tonight. Come to church. Come to small group. We're going to pray for you. And you can give your life to Christ. And people will start to follow. There will be a response to your life. And there will be a response to, in the spiritual realm, demons will flee. Sick will be healed. Lives will be changed because in your life there's a responsiveness, and I believe in the Spirit there's going to be a responsiveness as well. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you also speak to us tonight through the weather, God, and through the rain that is falling outside, God. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are so excited about your mandate, Lord. You are so excited, Lord, to seek and to save the lost. You are so excited, Lord, about demons fleeing, Lord, about sick being healed. But Lord, you are most of all excited about people following you. And Lord, I just want to thank you tonight that you are speaking to every person here, Lord. I pray right now, Jesus, that you would speak to each one about their responsiveness, Lord. All of us, Lord, we need to respond to you because the kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is coming, Lord. And we want to thank you tonight that you call us to a response tonight, Lord. You call us to another level of urgency, Lord, where it's not about running around, Lord, doing lots of stuff. But it's simply about us responding, first of all, to your voice, to your Spirit leading us. Because, Lord, we want people to respond, Lord. We want our lives to be a testimony of your goodness, God. And, Lord, in the Spirit, we want to see the sick healed. We want to see demons being cast out, Lord. We want to see the authority that you want to place upon our lives, God. You want to give us such authority and such responsibility, Lord. But tonight we realize, God, that we're so busy with so many other things. We want to turn away from that, Lord. We want to turn away from being so responsive to the world. Lord, we realize as soon as there's a fun event, Lord, as soon as there's something nice happening, God, we don't even think twice, God. We run to it. I really want to say tonight, just the Lord has just shown me again that we are, and we're all guilty of it, as a generation that's living in the modern world, we are so responsive. Amen. We cannot say we're not responsive. We are so responsive to so many things. We run after the next best thing. That's like we're the microwave generation or the McDonald's. We just run after the next best thing. We run after the greatest hit, the greatest song. And we are so responsive. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, there's a window of opportunity for us young people. That if we can be responsive to the world, how much more shouldn't we be responsive to the voice of God in our lives? How much more shouldn't we be responsive to the leading of the Spirit, where He even leads us through the valley of the shadow of death? And we don't want to go there. We want to take the shortcut. But He says, you know what? This is the path of righteousness.